Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, loved ones. As always, it is an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath, corresponding with April the 29th, 2017. For the God we serve, the Almighty, Most High God, is an awesome God, and I am so grateful to Him for the richness of His love, mercy, and grace afforded us unto salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of His wonderful, only begotten, and beloved Son, in whom He is well pleased, Yeshua the Messiah, having been resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father. A wonderful, most wonderful gift of life that I thank Yah for. And then the fellowship of one another, the brothers and sisters that we have amongst one another. Thanks to the Lord that we have a family through spirit. A lot of us don't even know one another, but by faith, we know one another. By faith, we're related through the bloodline that is of Yeshua the Messiah, that blood that was shed for us and washed away our sins. Sin generational curses, you know, sins of the flesh, those issues of life that we had to deal with, and connected us unto the bloodline of righteousness, where now instead of seen as sinners, that we're seen as saints, and we are held guiltless when we continue in the spirit of obedience to the word of Yah, you know, and so that we take occasion to examine ourselves, to prove ourselves in the faith, to be conscious of our conduct and behavior that is befitting of the name of Yah as the royal priesthood that we are. We are princes and princesses. We are kings and queens through Yeshua, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we have this understanding, then we watch how we conduct ourselves. We make sure that we conform to what is the way of the word of Yah, and that we be transformed in the renewing of our mind to what is the Messiah, having the mind of the Messiah, making sure that we don't have on the Gentile attire. And when we do, we bathe in the spirit of the Lord, meaning you know, His word, and we repent, and we take that attire off, and we put on the attire of holiness, put on the attire that is conducive, that is of the kingdom of Yah. Because make no mistake about it, we're going to stumble. We're going to get caught up in this Gentile system. You know, it is just the way of the world. Yah understands this, and this is why He gave us His mercy and grace out of the abundance of His love. But just like throughout the course of a day, you get dirty, you get filthy, it's stinking, but you don't stay in that state. You take your shower or your bath, and you clean up, and you put on some clean clothes and refresh yourself. And this is what we have to do daily in this Gentile world, in this world. So we will stumble, we will fall, but we don't stay in that state. We don't enjoy it. You know, I don't know anybody in their right mind enjoy being unclean, being smelly, you know. And notice I said in their right mind. You know, and so being in the right mind, which is the mind of the Messiah, when we realize that, hey, we have Gentile attire on, you know, when we had the filth of this world on us and in us, in our minds or whatever, then we take advantage of the love, mercy, and grace for its intended purpose, which is to save our souls, to bring us out of this madness and this mess and this filth, you know, so that we can be presentable to Yeshua when He returns. He can embrace us. He can identify with us, and we be in eternal glory with Him. This is why we want to be saved. That is one aspect. The other aspect is we don't want to be on the receiving end of His wrath, which is total annihilation and destruction to Satan, his demons, and then to those that follow him. You know, so we don't want that. You know, we dread the wrath and the anger of Yah. It is a fearful thing, and his son carries out, execute Yah's judgment to Yah's pleasure, just like it pleased Yah to bruise him and to put him to death and to have him buried. It pleased him, but Yeshua was obedient to that. And in obedience to that, and it pleased the Father brought him back into eternal glory. It's going to please Yeshua, excuse me, Yeshua is going to be pleasing to the judgment of Yah as well. And he's going to execute it, and the Father is going to be pleased with him in that. He won't need to say, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That has already been established. Yeshua is the perfect example of obedience to the Father. So he's going to execute what it is the Father want done with respect to Satan, his demons, the wicked, the followers, the unjust, the sinful man, the unrepentant, the faithless, the unfaithful. The list can go on. So we want to take advantage of the love, mercy, and grace for its intended purpose, which is not to get filthy lucre, money, the gain of this world, you know, enjoy the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. That is not what Yah has given us his mercy and grace for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then those things can be added too. But you have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can't seek his kingdom unrighteously, you know, in sin, in the flesh. You know, our God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Can't seek God in lies and fables. You know, you're going to attract another God, but you're not going to get the attention of the true and the living God who is holy and who want us to be holy. So you can seek God however you want. You're just going to get another God, and there's another God of this world, and his name is Satan. And he has demons and principalities and powers, and you will appeal to them. But you will be deceived, because it will not be the true and living God, the Most High God, the Almighty God, the God of Israel, the one and only, true and living. It won't be him. He doesn't drop his standards. He raises us up to his standards. He doesn't compromise. So be that as it may, my message today is certainly the end of the devil, you know. But before I even go to that topic, you know, this man in this world, and when I say man, I'm speaking in regards to men, you know, but so this man in this world is ever trying to sit in the seat of God, is ever trying to be God. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, when Yah told Adam not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I won't touch on this long because that's a topic in and of itself that I'll get to, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, the sons of Adam in the flesh continue to pursue this information and this knowledge from that tree. So what I mean by that, you know, this man created, and I say these scientists and these doctors, and generally Satan worked through Caucasian people to do this, the Western European Caucasian man to do this, the Gentiles. He used them. They are most effective in the agenda of Satan. When Satan wanted to package evil, he gave it to them. He imported it into their minds, and then they exported it into the world. You know, they're excellent for promoting, for advertising, for marketing the things of Satan. They're excellent in making evil seem good, and quite honestly, good seem evil. You know, they're just excellent in the sense of Satan being able to be most effective using Caucasians, because they have such an influence in the world that when you want something to be believed, when you want something to be accepted, you put it in their hands. You give it to them. This is what the devil does. They have a persuasion over the world and their dominion, power, and authority, their rulership. They have that persuasion, and generally, when Satan gives it to them, they're able to influence the masses of the world to make it, to make them think that it's a good thing when it's evil. It's just natural for them. So that's what the devil does with that race of people, with that people. You know, he's able to make those things happen like that. But as if transgendering, changing your natural born sex, sexual identity, be it a male or female, boy and a girl, and they have perfected the science of changing that. I shouldn't say perfected, because when you really look at them, they are a mess. You know, these transgenders, you know, and they have issues that are covered up. I have to believe it. I would never know from experience, that's for sure. But I know that Yah's way is best. So I have to believe that when they go through that that abuse of their body, that there are other complications that they don't make mention of. You know, just like the devil. He don't tell you the fine print. He don't go into the detail. He just wanna have the bells and whistles, the bright lights, and the big words for sale, and then the fine print. You finish reading that and you realize you're not really getting much of a deal. You know, and that's how Satan does in the world, and many receive it like that. But as if that's not enough, along with just other things to defy Yah that this man does. But they have now supposedly created an artificial uterus, and they always use the pretense of something good to deceive the people, to make them think that, and they're deceived in this, that when they come up with these bright ideals, which are really dark ideals, but they present them as bright, that it's for the good of the world, it's for good. And see, this is the knowledge of good and evil. You know, the good outshines the evil, but the evil is very present in their heart and in their intent. And they're deceived, and so they do it under the pretext of doing good, you know, such that an artificial uterus. For what? Who are you trying to be? What are you trying to do in creating an artificial uterus? And they use some type of animal, I think it was a lamb or something, and it survived in it for 4 weeks, always making steps and leaps and bounds to try to usurp the authority and power of Yah. This is why they're going to be utterly destroyed. No other nationality, no other people, particular people of color, even think and fathom in their mind to do these things, to come up with these inventions. You know, you split atoms, and you go into the splitting of atoms for science to do good. But then it ends up, the end result is evil, such that you can make a weapon of mass destruction. And this is what this man does, you know, the Salvation Army, and you know, just name a few of these other organizations that go around the world to help. The UN, as a matter of fact, they found out that the workers of the UN had a sex slave trade going on. These workers that were supposed to be in these so-called third world nations to assist the people, that they were trafficking these young boys and girls in the sex trade. This is the nature of the beast. This is how this man is. You can't trust nothing he says he's going to do. It don't pan out to what they are selling to the world. You got to read the fine print, because it's in the nature, and they can't change that nature, because they want to make good without Yah, without God. You cannot make good without God. When you make good without God, it's going to be evil, because good with God is being godly. You can't be godless and be good and it be of any use and help to the people. So you will start these projects, but the end result will be devastation, will be despair, distress, and sadness, will be death and hell and plagues and curses. And they don't understand this. So, you know, I just use that. So that's when you tap into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why would a man want to think to make a uterus? Inquiring minds be wanting to know these things. At least why they will want to, their inquiring mind want to know the ways of Yah to try to be Yah. But my inquiring mind want to know, why would you even entertain that thought to want to make a uterus? Leave well enough alone. So with this being said, the end of the devil. This week, you know, under attack from Satan, and, you know, I felt like I can feel him breathing on my neck where he was so close to me, but he was not able to grab hold of me. But he was close and waiting for the opportunity, and he's still doing it now. You know, even while I'm doing this blog, he's waiting for Yah to drop a guard or for an angel that is encamped around about me to be displaced. He's waiting for the opportunity, and not only for me, for all the saints. I'm just speaking for me, you know, but in this, I just feel it. I felt it, and I still do, that he is waiting for a weak point, and so that he can come in like a flood. He wants to bring me to shame. He wants to hurt me. He wants to do have his way with me because he's not pleased with me, and that's one of the persons that I can care less about pleasing is the devil, and anything that is of him, his demons and his persons and people, I can care less about pleasing them. This is why I speak against the evil that this government does and that this nation and that the wicked do, because I'm not trying to please them. I want to please Yah, and I want to please him in more than just words, but I want to have a behavior and conduct that's conducive to him. And so I stay on the grind of examining myself and even repenting when necessary. But so I know that this beast and his attack, and he has launched some attacks, and they did not have the full effect that he had intended because of Yah, which I am so grateful for. But in that, I had to make a decree to Satan. And this is why this topic is so important, and we do the same. You know, we do likewise. I had to make a decree to him and let him know his end. His end. Let him know that his end. See, you and I, we have hope. We still have another chance. As long as we have breath of life, we have access to grace. We have access to mercy. Yah can shower us with his love. We have an opportunity to repent, you know. But Satan has none of that. It is doomsday for him. It is absolutely nothing that he can do to stop the seal of his fate. His end is destruction. There is no mercy for Satan. There is no grace. There is no love. Yeshua did not die for Satan. He died for the works of Satan that is against us. But his eye was stayed on the utter destruction and the annihilation of Satan. And so I like to always remind Satan of that when he tries to bring me through hell. I like to let him know of the hell that was created and the lake of fire that was created for him and his demons and his followers. And no matter what you do, Satan, I still have an opportunity that you can never have, in that I can go before the Father, and I can call him Father, and I can go before him, and I can ask for forgiveness, and I can repent. I can change, and I can mend my ways. I don't have to stay in the nature of sin. So I let this beast know this, and believe me, he backs up off of me. He knows me in that regard. He backs up off of me because those are mortal wounds. Those are fatal attacks against him. I know who you are. You may discourage me for a moment. You may bring distress, but everything that you do to me is temporary and is only permissible if Yah allows it. So when he allows you, that he has established that it will not destroy me, and you will not get the benefit of glory that you're seeking in my life, because my God, my Father, would not allow you to have it. You're on a chain, and it is a very short chain. And when you seek to rush in against me because you see an opportunity, I see Yah pulling that chain, and choking you and holding you back. And I am eternally grateful for him, because another thing that I acknowledge to this beast, because I know that second to the power of Yah that is in the oneness of Yeshua as well, is Satan's place. The only one, particularly in the creature in the realm of this earth, that has power over Satan is Yeshua, is Yah. But he's a very powerful beast. He is formidable. I don't play with Satan. I don't make mention and go into these things with the devil in and of my own power and strength, my might and my intelligence. I'm not no fool like that. I don't play with the devil like that. I know this beast can utterly destroy me. Utterly destroy me. There's not a man on the planet that can withstand the attack of Satan, man, woman, or child. Satan is a powerful being. You cannot underestimate him. This is why you got to know your enemy when you're fighting. You can't go in a fight underestimating the power and strength of your enemy and neglect to pay attention to whatever have you and not be properly trained, and you get in a fight when you're going to get knocked out. That's how you know how to fight. You learn your enemy, the style, you know, his strengths and his weaknesses. You learn that. And this is a fight. We in a spiritual battle. You got to know your enemy, Satan. And if nothing else, you better know that he is very powerful. And it's only the power of Yah that can render him powerless. He has no power against Yah whatsoever. Whatsoever. But against us, he is a force to be reckoned with. So I understand this and I know this, you know, but that's why I come in the name of the Lord. That's why I use the power of Yah against him and not James Jordan power, and I be deceived and utterly destroyed by this beast. So the scripture detail the devil's in. Let's make it clear. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it started there. Well, you know what? I'll read this. In Genesis chapter 3:15, it says, and he's speaking to the serpent, I will put enmity, that means hatred, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You know, and that seed of the woman was Yeshua being born through Mary, who had not been impregnated through a man, particularly her husband, Joseph. But Yeshua was that seed. And that woman was Mary. And then not only that, it was a type of the church and the damage that it would do to Satan, but the damage, the injury, should I say, the injury that it was sustained in doing that damage. The saints of Yah, we going to destroy Satan, but it's not going to be without him getting a few punches in and a few socks and giving us some bruises. But we still going to win. The fight is fixed. We win. That's the bottom line. The fight is fixed, and we win. We may get some bruises. We may get some soreness, cuts and scrapes, but the bottom line is we win, because the fight has been fixed from the very beginning, from the foundations of this world. So we are of that same seed, Yeshua the Messiah. It is only expected that the seed of Satan come against the seed of Yah through the Messiah, and there's an ongoing battle, but it's not forever. It is still temporary. I don't care if the world existed for the 3 billion years that they concocted up and had no facts or evidence to support that, just coming up with stuff. And that's the nature of the beast, the number of the beast. Let me put this in there, throw this nugget in there. He's fascinated with numbers. That's part of the beast when it begins to talk about the number of the beast. That's part of his nature. So when they come out with these figures, it's to be expected. It's a tell sign of their nature with respect to numbers, because Yah is all about his word. Satan has to be the opposite of Yah. So with Satan's system and kingdom, it's all about numbers. That's why you got a social security number. They don't know your name. They don't care about your name. They judge your character on three digits of a number, whether you got a 700 or 800 FICO score or whether you got a 200 FICO score. That's how they judge your character. This is the social security number. This is how they identify you. You are identified by a number. Yah identify us by a name, and then the character that's befitting of that name. And for the to make it even more clear, the name of Yeshua the Messiah. I figured to throw that one in as a nugget, because that's essential in knowing this beast and the characteristics of this beast, and so that we can know how to better withstand him, you know. And the knowledge is power, but the application is even more powerful. And what is the application of knowledge that is more powerful? To be like the Messiah, to be obedient to this word. The word is the knowledge. It is the epitome of knowledge. So when we want to be powerful, then we obey this word, and that's where our power is. But just to have knowledge and not obey the word of Yah, you puffed up. It's pride. And you're stupid, and you're foolish, and you're ignorant. When you have this word, but you don't want to obey it, you become a knowledge glut, always just forever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, like silly women. And you got some men that are like silly women as well. There's nothing worse than a silly woman and a foolish man. You know, they're one and the same. So we see, so the seed, that's Satan. That's his end. He's going to be crushed. And then we go to Revelation 2 and Revelation 12 and 9. I'm going to read what I read this week, which was very encouraging to me, as the word of Yah ought to be to us. That's our strength. It's where we refresh when we are worn down, when we are in distress, you know, when we are in despair. The word of Yah is life, and it just in that life is just so refreshing, and it is encouraging. It's the power of his word. It's alive and well. So Revelation 12:9, corresponding to with Genesis 3:15, and it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent." He's old now. He's decrepit. You know, I know that, well, let me finish. And then it says that old serpent called the devil and Satan. And I know my beloved brother, Derek Green, my beloved Hebrew brother, a man of Yah. I love what he says. He says in Genesis he was a serpent, but in Revelations, he is a dragon, because he had his fill of men. Satan, we have to understand that when Satan was told to eat the dust of the earth on his belly, eating the dust of the earth, you know, and then men were formed out of the dust of the earth, then we're on his menu. You know, we are his favorite food to eat, you know, mankind. And to be more specific, Satan desired to eat a man more than a woman, to feed on men, because he understands the significance that man is to God as a woman is to a man. A woman is very significant to a man. A man is very significant to God, and it has its proper order to function efficiently and most effective in that order like that. So, yes, yeah, so Satan, and it says, you know, call that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, so moving on from that, that correspondence to Genesis 3:15, I want to bring attention to Revelation 20. I read this, Revelation 20, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, you know, because it blessed me, you know, once again to show Satan to his face and to tell, or should I say, tell him to his face, that I know your end. What you're doing to me and what you do to the saints is temporary, you know, and Yah has discretion on how far you can go, but you don't have a savior. You have nothing that can stop this end that has been decreed for you. So in Revelation 20, and I'll just read it. And it says, and I saw an angel come down. And this chapter deals with Satan being bound for the 1,000 years, okay, saints? But it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven and having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. He will be released for a little while. Now, here's the interesting thing about it, because we know that Satan is a powerful being in this earth. Very powerful being. As the scripture details his end, he is nothing in comparison to even the host of heaven. Look what Yah said. An angel, it didn't even say Michael, the archangel, but it said an angel came down having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That lets you know how pitiful Satan is. When he's coming up against Yah, he's a bully, as we say bully in this time and day. But we need to understand that he is absolutely nothing. An angel put hands on him without a fight. It was no fight. Satan, it was absolutely nothing that Satan could do. I have to imagine he had to just submit to the power of Yah that was vested in that angel, to just put hands on him and bring him under arrest and bound him, imprisoned him for 1,000 years, and it was nothing that he could do. Such that even in Isaiah gives a picture of him. Isaiah chapter 14. Got to let this beast know. He trying to let us know. He tell a story about us. He put imaginations and you know, pictures we see of circumstances that we don't see a way out, and it has, you know, an effect on us. It challenges our faith. It makes us sad and distressed when things look gloom and doom, you know, when expectations don't come through. You know, he shows us this in our minds. So I like to return the favor. I like, in this instance, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. When concerning Satan, I like that. I like the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I'm going to say this again. It is not in my own strength. I don't mess with Satan without first being connected to Yah and being faithful, because you mess around and you tell Satan to get behind you, Satan, like Yeshua did. A lot of Christians do this. Get behind me, Satan, and Satan get behind them and start kicking them in their behind. And they tap out quick. Satan get behind them and start choking them out. got to be careful. So I say what the Lord allowed me to do. You search and you check your own relationship with him and know the extent of your power. But you cannot just walk into Satan's territory like this if you have not been ordained to do that. If God has not empowered you. So I have to say that, because I would hate for a young believer, someone who had just come into the faith, or someone who don't have as strong a faith as I am, and then engage Satan like this, and Satan launch an attack, and it, if not destroy them, it comes close to tapping, making you want to tap out. So I say this in the power of the Lord for what Yah has ordained and permitted me to be able to do. And it's not for everybody. But what is for everybody is to know Satan's end. You may not engage him like I can do, but you can know his end. You can know his end. And when he show you a temporary picture of, or an image of what you may be going through, you can speak against that and let it know by faith the vision that Yah has given you for your end. And within that same faith, because it'll be through Yah's spirit and not your own, let Satan know his end. So for those that have not been ordained to engage Satan like that, I say, you know, in these instances, give your praise to Yah. When Satan show you an image or a gloom of, you know, despair, whatever, just tell Yah, I thank you for showing me otherwise, that I am the head and not the tail, the above and not the beneath, you know, that I am blessed. And you begin to praise Yah. That's how you can destroy Satan. But don't engage in this beast if you have not been ordained. He will destroy whomever challenged him that Yah did not ordain. Okay? So it's very important. But in Isaiah chapter 14, this is how pitiful he is. You know, I'm going to read this, verse 12-29. How art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Just seated on high. He want to be where Yah is. And this is why this man, his children of Satan, always want to be under pretense of, you know, learning the galaxy, learning the outer space in order to help people. But they get this mind from their father, the devil. You know, he, like I said, he imports into them and then they export into the world. So no people want to launch off into outer space. They understood and they were content in being on earth. And whatever they learn from outer space, through Yah, in space, through Yah's giving them a revelation, it was still found to be that they were more accurate than these scientists and the astronomers and, you know, the NASA and all of them making rockets to go there. They still more ignorant than the men that have never gone in outer space, but they knew about space, particularly our people, people of color, if you will, you know, that had a relationship with Yah, but never had to make a vehicle, make some machine to take them there. But be that as it may. And then he says, you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He's talking about Satan now, the sun, the morning star, Lucifer. You had some way off, pastor, and I know my former pastor, that I am grateful that the Lord has had me to see this this wicked man and make sure that I didn't go any further than I went with him, and to disfellowship myself from that that ministry. But in a reprobation of mind, with all that he think to know, in a reprobation of mind, he think that in this scripture that Lucifer is referring to Yeshua the Messiah. That's what Yah do with a reprobated mind when you're prideful and when you are in the faith with the reviling and just the once again, that I can't get away from just the toxicity of pride and arrogance and reviling and don't want to be corrected. Y'all turn you to a reprobated mind. So you would think that this Lucifer is referring to Yeshua the Messiah, but you deceived. So then it says, Isaiah 14:16, they that see you shall narrowly look upon you. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you. That means to gaze upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Is this the man? That's Satan in that most pitiful state. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even of them, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable, that is, a detestable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain. Tears and holes. This is what he looks like. Thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. This is Satan's state. This is his end. For what he has done to humanity, thrust them through, you know, tread upon and just sought to feast on them and to, you know, bring pain and anguish and sorrow and all these things, and he's going to get this unto himself by Yah, and he's going to be pitiful, such that, as we read, the angel will be able to put hands on him with no resistance. And then we have it continue. You shall not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed the land and slain the people. Slaying your people, the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. People, the genealogy of evildoers and the wicked, the Bushes, the Obamas, the Trumps, the presidents before, the corrupt politicians, all of them, the corporate Americans, the Ku Klux Klans, the races, and these are the ones that's in power, that have power over even people of color that are wicked, black, evildoers, Hispanic, Chinese evildoers. They don't have the power and influence that the Caucasian man have, but they're going to get the same. But speak in terms of that, you know, they're not going to be renowned. They're not going to have a name in the book of life. They're not going to be in the book of life. They're not going to be written. That genealogy is destroyed. Everything for them is temporary. Then he says, prepare to slaughter for the children, or for his children. Prepare to slaughter for his children for their iniquity of their fathers. That's why these races that continue on in the spirit of their forefathers, that's why these generational curses, these things are very real, and there's real consequences behind them. We are called to repent when we hear the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is now through his word. It is a voice that is quiet, but it still speaks loud, and it still speaks clear, and it's still most powerful even in its quietness. And it says, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. And I'm going to stop right there and go back to Revelation, but I wanted us to just see in the context of that how pitiful Satan was, that the world would see him and say, is this the man that brought us all this hell on earth? You know, so in going back to Revelation 20, you know, for the 1,000 years. And then it says, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Yah, or the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Then it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, that those that rise up, that reign with Yeshua the Messiah, that's the first resurrection, that have been beheaded, that have been slain. That is the first resurrection in Yeshua. But those that were not a part of Yeshua, they were not raised in that first resurrection. They were waiting for their sentencing, the day of their sentencing. You know, when a man is convicted of a crime, he knows what he's up against. You know, they tell that at the writing of the charges. You know, you can get 25 years or whatever. They let you know. And then you go to the sentencing, and then that makes it official. So we know that they're going to have eternal damnation. We know what their end is, but this is going to be official. So for those that did not rise in the first resurrection. Then he says, blessed and holy. And I read that part, and for the 1,000 years. Then verse 7, and when the 1,000 years were expired, or when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loose out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, north, east, west, south. And then it says Gog and Magog, and they will be the ruling power. You can best believe America and the European nations will not be at the forefront during this time. They will not be superpowers and the world leaders at this time. There is a rising, a new power, as Yah set and humbled this nation and set them down in the dust. That's another subject. But verse 9, another subject for another day. And it says, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of whom is as the sea of the land, who is as the sand of the sea. So they're going to still have the same wicked policies. They're going to be ungodly, like the European Christian Gentile nation was ungodly, in America and Europe, the UN and all of them ungodly. And it's going to continue once Satan reigns for 1,000 years, that it would be these powers that would be influenced by him to try to overthrow Yeshua's kingdom one more time. And but we have here, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, that beloved city of Jerusalem. They surrounded Jerusalem because they got evil intent. They want to destroy it, and they want to take Christ or the Messiah out of his power. They want to, what they call that, when they want to overthrow the government. You know, that's what they want to do. You know, sedition. And they will have a following. And I take it that it would be those that were once in power or their descendants, and they want to receive that glory again, however, through another nation. But that's the way I take it. And I say that is my opinion. As I take it, you know, so I'll state when it's a fact of the scriptures, but that's what I believe. So with that being said, the beloved city and compass the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night. The devil, this is his fate. This is it for him. And the beast and the false prophet, we can even find them in Revelation 19:20. Let's read this. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that worked miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, which are the beast and the false prophet, they were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The Lord let us know they were cast alive, meaning they're going to feel that pain, that torment. They're going to feel it. And that's why I say with people, you want to play with Yah, and you want to give yourself a one-way ticket to hell, you better learn how to practice in this world, get used to it in this world, and put your flesh against some fire and see how you fare, you know, or if you're able to jump in a lake in some lava. That's the lake of fire. Jump in it and see if you can come out well. I mean, it may sound silly, even comical, but that's the reality of it when you're thrust in there alive. So if you know you cannot keep, that you cannot withstand fire against your flesh, that ought to come to mind that you don't want to receive Yah's damnation and his judgment, which is through fire like this. Because as the beast, the false prophet, as Satan was, and they are alive, so will be the followers of Satan. You know, and so it says, and he was cast into the lake of fire, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them no more. This is the end of the world. And listen, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. There is no hiding place, saints. That's what we need to understand. Every soul that had ever come into the earth is accounted for. Not one is lost. Not one is getting by. That's why these politicians and these wicked men in high places, these principalities, and doing their evil, and even creating the environment for war, creating the scenery for war. You know, last week I spoke about Iran, and then I'm failed to mention that instigating and provoking North Korea, you know, and they don't mind going to war and the use of weapons of mass destruction, because they have bunkers underground. They have hidden places, these cowards, where they can hide them and their loved ones while the masses are destroyed by these weapons through their instigation and love of war. So they think they're getting by, but the reason I make mention of this, that even in those places, it's not a hiding place for Yah. You may escape a bomb, and you may escape your enemy on the other side of the world that you are at war with, but your main enemy that is going against you, there is no hiding place, not even in the depths of the sea. You know, there is no hiding place. Even the sea is going to give up its dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now listen, and whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is why Yeshua said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. You know him by the Antichrist. You're not known by me, the true Messiah. You were serving the God of this world." So they get the same ending that was for Satan. But we have here and understand that this devil, his end is in sight. This is why he's going through all, or should I say that the world is going through all the turbulences, the turmoil, you know, the pain and agony. It's Satan's kingdom. It's supposed to be this way. And it is an indication, as the world gets worse, it is necessary for the best to come. This is why I say, as the world gets worse, for the saints, the best is yet to come. For the way of the world, quite honestly, in all of this perversion and chaos and sin, it is like an amusement. It is a amusement park for them, for the wicked and the evil that's going on, the sport of it, the perversion, the racism, the hatred, you know, the lasciviousness, the adultery and divorces, the sexual perversion, the transgender, and now the making of a uterus. All these things the world loved, this day at their climax. But it is at this climax that Yeshua comes and utterly destroy them and establish himself. So for the saints, we got to stay encouraged. We got to be empowered. We got to be edified. We got to be enlightened, because the best is yet to come while they're in their glory and the habitation of sin. This is paradise for the wicked right now, because it is filled with wickedness, for lying and death and violence. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is for them and is to come. And we must understand that when Yah made humanity, when he made mankind, he didn't intend for mankind to suffer through the lake of fire. You know, scripture make it very clear in Matthew 24:41. And he says, then shall he's referring to the devil, or those that follow the devil, that do unrighteousness. It's the judgment. Mankind is going to get the devil's punishment because they follow the devil and they resist Yah, they defy Yah. So it's only just that they get what was purposed for the devil. But Yah had not purposed this for the righteous, for mankind. But it says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire prepared for in his angels. Yah didn't purpose that for us. And this is why we have the end of the world. And in the end of the world, there is going to be a new heaven. And there is going to be a new earth. And it reads in Revelation 21. And it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There was no more sea. There was no more waters. Then, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall be with them. This is what we were reading with Yeshua reigning for the 1,000 years. And this is the continuance of that reign. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. That is Yeshua the Messiah, saints. That's the detail. That's the end of Satan, the end of this world, his system that has sorrow, that has death, that has pain, that has poverty, that has hatred and racism, diseases and sexual perversion. It has all those things, but they're coming to an end with the author and the father of it all, Satan. So saints, be encouraged. Come into the Lord. Take advantage of the mercy and grace and repent. Seek out and learn what holiness and righteousness is. Understand them and learn them, the definition and meaning of them. And then by all means, be in the spirit of that. Till next time, beloved, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace until salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones.